You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
J.J. Watt steps up big for this community again. He did it again. We're going to tell you what he did. And the Texans draft picks, they try to do something that's been done just one other time in the team's history. What is it? You're going to find out in today's show. Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside my partner and co-host Brian Patterson from House of Houston, freshly back from the royal wedding. We welcome him back. We got him tea and crumpets and the whole thing here on Locked On Texans. Welcome to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews, part of the FanRag Sports Network. And Brian, J.J. Watt, he steps up again, another incredibly low moment for this community, but who's there to do something really good and try to make something out of it that is positive? And that's J.J. Watt. What did he promise to do?
He promised to pay for the funerals for all 10 victims at Santa Fe High School. Again, a tragic event that occurred. And, you know, this definitely gives those families a sense of, you know, they don't have to worry about having to pay for those expenses. They've already lost a loved one, and now he kind of alleviates a bit of those worries. So what an incredible gesture. I mean, I'm just not surprised that he did it, but, you know, that he actually wanted to do it. But I'm surprised that it actually was done. I mean, that just speaks to the type of man that he is.
Yeah, when you see something huge is happening from J.J. Watt, it's almost become expected. I mean, that's what he is. That's what he has become. Couldn't be more proud that he's around. And, you know, my sister, her friend's son was one of those students that was shot. Luckily, he's okay. He's in stable condition. He was shot in his leg, but I know people out there, I know there's got to be some listeners, I'm sure, that are connected to this in various ways. You know, our thoughts are with you, and we got to move on to some lighter stuff with the Texans today, but I mean, I'm sure everybody's been bombarded with this, so I want to kind of get over to, you know, football. And the Texans OTAs started this week. If you forgot what OTA means, it stands for Organized Team Activities. And Brian, why don't we just call these the PWPs? It's just as ridiculous as a title. It's just practice without pads, right? Practice without pads.
Pretty much. And I don't understand why they have to do this. I mean, you could save it all for training camp. But I guess it's just a way for the coaches to get acquainted with the new guys. This is nothing more than that. You know, this is an opportunity for those undrafted free agents to stand out, you know, like Jared Jones-Smith, Jester Way, you know, all kinds of different guys out there. So it'll be important to keep your eye on this for this week, especially for diehard fans and, you know, reporters like ourselves. Yeah, it's just going to be great to keep your eye on this. But, you know, the real deal is going to be in training camp.
Yeah, you just mentioned a couple of guys from the Pittsburgh Panthers, and we're going to have somebody that covered those two guys later on this week. He's coming on the show. He'll tell you a little bit about their story and what to expect from them. But yeah, the organized team activities, they make everything sound so corporate in the NFL. It reminds me of the old George Carlin routine when he talks about football versus baseball. In football, you receive a penalty. In baseball, you make an error. Whoops, I made an error. Baseball has the seventh inning stretch. Football has the 2-minute warning. You know, one of them, we're just stretching. One of them, you're warned. So there you go, Brian.
George Carlin's one of my favorite comedians, and God bless him. He's passed on, but he is truly one of the greats. Just his insight. I love the guy. Just, you know, with all the times I got to watch his specials on HBO, terrific, terrific comedian. Wish I would have been able to see him live.
I saw him live, dude. I saw him.
Awesome.
I actually saw him at Harrah's in Las Vegas. This was probably, God, it's been like maybe 22 years ago. And they actually, it's one of those deals where it wasn't a place where you have seating like you would at a theater. It's like a dinner table seating. So we were all set at tables, and there's just me and a buddy of mine. So you're kind of set at random tables with people. But I actually was at a table that was right next to the stage. My chair was next to the stage, so my elbow was up on the stage as Carlin's performing his routine. So that That was pretty sweet.
No, man. Yeah, yeah. I wish I would have been able to have that opportunity, but he was just a comedic genius, just with the way he was able to deliver and the punchlines, and just, you know, he wrote his own stuff. And yeah, there will never be another one like him. He's like up there, right up there with Rodney Dangerfield. I mean, just really good at what he does.
Yeah, I mean, unlike Rodney, Rodney was just real simple, but man, Carlin, he would have those, you know, he'd have that stuff that just made you think. It was smart. It was just something that you don't see a ton from comedians, that they have this thing where they make you think and like, wait a second, that doesn't, you're right. That is kind of stupid. And that's what Carlin was able to do with his comedy. But let's get back to OTAs a little bit in football. And, you know, it's media availability during OTAs will be Tuesday of this week. So I will be out there. I'm planning to grab an interview on Tuesday. Hope to bring that back to you guys later this week. We're definitely going to be on the lookout for some position battles as the OTAs and mini camp and then training camp all unravel in the next few weeks. Just the other day, Brian and I wondered if the Texans' first four picks could all end up as starters to open the season. Before we get to that, we're going to talk about it, but I want to remind everybody that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, do us a favor, tell your friends. We always like to do this kind of as a reminder early in the show, but hey, would love to get more people into the tent. You know, we're getting several hundred per episode. We'd love to break 1,000. Help us break 1,000 listeners. That'd be pretty cool. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, Podchaser, TuneIn, Spotify. I could go on and on, but pick your way to find a podcast, and we're probably easy to find right there. Spotify, I'm sure everybody is using that, or most of you guys are doing that. And if you'd like to check out more podcasts or just more information about what's going on with the Locked On Network, you know, we got a show for every football, every NFL team, every NBA team, Major League Baseball. Just go to LockedOnSports.com. It's our new Locked On Network website. So, Brian, I took a look back at the Texans' drafts to see if the Texans ever had their top four draft picks open the season as starters. Now, the first four picks in draft number one, David Carr, Jabari Gaffney, Chester Pitts, and Fred Weary, they all started that first year. But, of course, that's an expansion team, and since they're an expansion team, you kind of expect that they would get four guys at the beginning that would start, although with Charlie Casserly, that was sometimes debatable with some of his picks. But the only other season the Texans might have had their top four picks starting was that great 2006 draft with Mario Williams, D'Amico Ryans, Charles Spencer, and Eric Winston. But believe it or not, Brian, Zach Wiegert started over Winston that year. Zach Wiegert. Remember him?
Barely, because Eric Winston's name just seems to dominate, you know, in all of my memories in terms of one. He had carved out a nice career as an offensive lineman and also an outspoken activist, you know, head of the players union, just a great guy all around. I barely remember that dude's name.
I've tried to forget it for years, and now the old Wikipedia made me remember it, or Football Reference, or wherever I was roaming through to find that information. Now, it'd be pretty remarkable if the Texans started their top four picks this season, considering none of them were drafted in the top two rounds. You know, no first round pick, no second round pick. So, Brian, give me the odds. Let's start off with Justin Reed. Let's start off with him. Give me the odds that he beats out Andre Howell for the starting nod. Is it 50-50, 60-40? What chance does he have of beating out the veteran, and who would you bet on against the Patriots in week one to start?
I put him somewhere at 90-10%. I think that Justin is ready to go. Andre Howell, although, and then, you know, Corey Moore is, you know, the backup as well. I just really think that, you know, with Justin Reed's talents and with the Texans wanting to invest so highly in a safety, that he is going to start. Andre Howell was decent last season. He wasn't terrible, but he could have been better. But I think Andre Howell being here is just nice to have at depth. But I honestly think that Justin Reed can steal that starting spot right away.
Probably the best chance, would you say, of any of those top four picks? He's odds on, right?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. This guy's a for sure starter, ready to go just with his talent. I mean, again, like I said, Andre Howell is not really a have-to-have guy. It's great to have him here for the depth, but, you know, Justin Reed is he's definitely my guy to start alongside Tyrann Mathieu.
Just because he's not a veteran, I'm going to say it's a 50-50 between him and Andre Howell, but we might notice early on. It might be pretty obvious. You know, you might start looking at what they're doing out there in OTAs and minicamp. I don't think he's going to start off, but by training camp, when they get up to Virginia, I think you're going to start knowing if he's the guy in week one. How about offensive lineman Martinez Rankin? We can either talk about him as a prospect at starting at guard or tackle. Right now, his main competition, Chantrell Henderson at right tackle, maybe Senio Calamete at guard. I'm throwing Jeff Allen out with what happened with him. Being put on the PUP list and maybe where the Texans are with him. Calamete also could play tackle, so it could be either one of those positions because Senio's played all of them. What are the odds, Brian, that Rankin wins out at least one of those spots? So he's got a chance at two spots, really. And if so, which spot do you think it is? Which spot do you think he wins?
I would say that right tackle is up for grabs, and he has just as great of a shot as any of those guys right now. I would put the percentage right now close to about 70-30. It still would be in favor of him to start because really the Texans didn't do much with the tackle position in the draft other than him. And so in free agency as well. So obviously they brought Martinez in, drafting him that high to make an impact. Depending on how he does in camp, you could see him as a starter along that line alongside Julian Davenport.
I'm going to lower his odds a little bit. I don't think his is as good as Reed because, you know, he's got veterans in front of him. Offensive linemen, it's one of those positions that I think it scares coaches to start rookies. I'm going to put his odds at a little bit less than 50-50. I would say he's maybe a 40%, and I give him as high as 40% because, again, it looks like there are two positions he's got a shot at, either guard or tackle. But I'm going to say 40-60. Brian, I don't know. We disagree on this one. So you believe he's going to start. He's going to start in week one. We're going to see Martinez Rankin out there.
I really do think that he could be out there starting. Again, it depends on how well he does in camp. We may just have no choice but to start him. And again, this is not knowing what they plan to do with maybe bringing more tackles in to compete. But if Martinez can show that he is, you know, able to cover well enough to protect Deshaun Watson, you know, as they go through the run-throughs in training camp, who knows, he may be right back out there. Because you think about Chantrell, it all hinges on his health. And, you know, like I've talked about before, you know, we don't know if he's ready. But obviously the Texans think that he has something if they brought him in at least for a one-year deal. But Martinez has a great shot. If he doesn't start, he's going to be the first one off the bench. I guarantee you that.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Texans, not a lot of great depth on the offensive line. They've got guys that they're bringing in, but none of them that are really inspiring to you. The next pick on the list, tight end Jordan Akins. It's 50-50, or is it 50-50, Brian, with him or Ryan Griffin? And keep in mind, we got to remember, Bill O'Brien, he doesn't like rookies. You know that, right? He doesn't like rookies.
Right. Right. And you had no choice but to start the rookie in Deshaun Watson, and look how he turned out. You know, they had something clicking there. So it's going to be great to see that again. But with Jordan Akins, I could see him starting right out of the gate. I mean, you shouldn't just give Ryan Griffin the starting spot because he's been here a long time. It's all about guys that can make the most impact. But if Ryan Griffin can prove that he's a starter, I mean, this is going to put heat on him, you know, then, hey, we're going to have him start right out of the gate. But I would put Jordan right there in the range of close to 60-40.
I give him a better chance than I give Martinez Rankin, but I will say it's still a 50-50 just because I think this is one that it's flat out. They're going in with no idea of what they're going to do. Maybe you could say that about the same thing about the offensive line. Yeah. Whereas with Reed, I think they've got a definite idea that they'd like for him to start. I think it's just, hey, Jordan, go out there and prove that you're better than Ryan Griffin. We want you to prove that because we drafted you in the third round, but Ryan Griffin, you know, he comes in as the guy that's been here. He's been around. He's had it. He knows what he's doing. He knows the playbook. He knows where to go on the field. He knows how to scramble and get out of trouble maybe so Deshaun Watson can find him in a pinch. So that's where Griffin's got a little bit of an edge on you. You've got to go out and win that job.
That's going to be a great competition battle, probably one of the best out of this camp. You know, who's going to start at tight end?
Okay, let's hit on that last of the Texans' top four picks, but we'll do it in just a bit. Quick tease. If you haven't done it already, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at lockedontexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, just go to the show description of each podcast. It's all right there, easy to find. And if you're a fan of Locked On Texans, you can either email us a question or record a message using the voice memo on the phone, perhaps. You know, that's easy to do. Just send us the voice memo. We'll use it on the show. And same address, just email lockedontexans@mail.com. That's lockedontexans@mail.com. Now let's move to Kiki Cutie, the fourth round slot receiver, the last of the four picks that we've been talking about. And I know we have high hopes for him, Brian, but Bruce Ellington looked good last year when he was healthy, which is always a big if when I say or when he was healthy, which is always a big when he was healthy is that you got to say that when you talk about Bruce Ellington. But he'd also have to beat out, I'm talking about Kiki, would also have to beat out Braxton Miller, who showed flashes. He had moments. How likely is it that Kiki wins the starting spot? I'm putting his chances maybe like around 35%. He's going to have to go through two guys. It's going to be tough for him.
Yeah, very tough. You know, and where his biggest damage is going to be is on special teams. There's always going to be a use for him. This guy may be, you know, returning kickoffs and whatnot. Again, Chris Thompson is here. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting battle between he and him. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as well. But as far as him being a starter, you know, being in the rotation, I just don't see it. Bruce Ellington can return punts, too. So that's how he has a leg up. We've already talked about Kiki. That's not one of his strongest suits. So I would have to put – I'm right there with you, Rob. If he starts, I would even put it lower. It's more like 20%. Yeah, he's only going to start if we have a big case of the injury bug. And, you know, we've been doing – or not we, but the Texans have been doing a lot of things in terms of, you know, changing their strength and conditioning staff, going with different methods, bringing in new equipment to the locker room so that way that these guys are ready to sustain and withstand a lot of injury during the season.
Yeah, if you throw all four of these guys in, I would say if – all four of them were starting to begin the season, I wouldn't be shocked, but I would say it would be maybe a 10% or 15% chance that all of them, because they've got some veterans that they've got to beat out. And like I said, I've watched Bill O'Brien for 4 years. I know his deal. He's not a fan of rookies, typically. I mean, Deontay Foreman, remember last year, Brian? We thought, yeah, Deontay Foreman deserved to play a lot more. We thought he was looking good. He looked like he had more explosive ability, could break tackles. He had more potential maybe than Lamar Miller, but he was barely seeing playing time once the season started.
You know, we wanted to see more of him because Lamar Miller, although he's, you know, definitely good at what he does, but just wasn't effective this season. And you could probably blame the run blocking. It wasn't as good last season. Our offensive line was terrible. But he's not a guy that can create his own holes like Foster could when he was here for so long. But I would expect Deontay Foreman, depending on how his health is, to get a lot more attention this year. And also we have Alfred Blue in our back pocket, so that's a good thing.
The intricacies of what Lamar Miller could do over what Deontay Foreman could do as a running back, we're talking about blocking, picking up blitzes, that sort of stuff. That was the stuff that it's hard to trust a rookie with. And so when you look at these different positions, the one that you really got to take a chance on is somebody like Martinez Rankin, because there's so much that goes into the cerebral part of an offensive lineman's game. And that's what they have to be able to trust Rankin. And maybe he just shows that he's physically superior and he's picking up things really quickly. You know, Nick Martin was a guy that I think Bill O'Brien was really high on. If he hadn't gotten hurt, Nick Martin was going to start. And Nick Martin was somebody that they really believed in as far as the mental side of the game. You know, he came from the football family with his brother Zach with the Cowboys, of course, offensive lineman. So Nick was somebody that I think Bill O'Brien believed in from the jump, and we're going to see how much he thinks of Martinez Rank, and that's going to be interesting. The offensive line stuff, that's the most fascinating, obviously, everything that's going on with the Texans. Brian, I've gotten a couple people that have emailed about one of the things we've had some difficulty with. If you're listening to the show and you hear the commercials, the ads pop up, and they're extremely loud. I'm telling you, I am producing the show, so I'm putting together everything that me and Brian, everything that we do, we put in where the ads are going to come in, but we do not control the volume. We're working on getting that fixed. We're talking to our bosses and the people on the technical side. We're doing the best that we can. Trust me, we understand that it is frustrating. We're hearing your complaints. Many of the hosts have responded to that, and we're trying to get something done from that fashion. But I hope everybody's still enjoying what we're doing. Just be wary of that. That's an issue that we are working on. Hopefully everything else, if there's any other audio issues, if you hear stuff between me and Brian or our interview subject, if any of that stuff sounds off or weird or whatever, let me know. You know, I'm the one putting it together. I'm the one producing that part of this show. So I can help you there, and I can definitely try to make things better. But Brian, I'm sure you've listened. You've heard this a little bit too. It's something we're trying to correct, though.
We seem to get the levels right, you know, for us, you know, because we're, you know, recording on Skype. We've got a great audio quality here, but those ads, you know, we're going to get and talk to the powers that be about it, you know, because our goal is to provide you the most quality of sound and content as we can. So we're working on that. We've got you guys in mind, and thanks for sending your comments. We are listening.
Absolutely. Brian's got everything covered on House of Houston, a Fanside affiliate. Rockets playoffs game 3 coming up Sunday night for some of you that are listening before that, but he'll have post game and everything that's happening with the Rockets, where they are in the series after game 3 and game 4 is already coming up on Tuesday. So check out houseofhouston.com, my Houston Sports Talk podcast. We've done a post game for the first two games, me and my co-host RG Seal. Go check that out. We talk Astros in there as well. What's going on with them as they play some of the better competition that they're going to play this year, these next couple of weeks, and as well as the last few weeks. It's a rough part of their schedule for sure. Don't forget Houston Sports Talk. It's on iTunes, free app in the Google Play Store for you Android users. And when you're done listening to today's Locked On Texans, take a few seconds, rate us on iTunes. Let us know what you think, what you might suggest. We're listening as you're here, and we're listening to what you're saying. We're taking it to heart. We're doing what we can to make the show as good as possible. That's all we got for this one. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.